Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
With the Olympics taking place in Paris, I decided that for this week's industry review, to look at an industry that helps us as a nation stay fit, healthy and competitive. And the industry we're going to look at today is sports centres. I'm delighted to be joined by Liam Harbison. He's the director of the Sport Ireland Institute out there in Blanchardstown. Tina Dowling is the CEO of the Watershed in Kilkenny. And Clodagh Kilmurry is CEO of Swan Leisure in Rathmines and indeed in Crumlin. You're all very welcome to the programme. Liam, I want to start with you. It's been a big couple of weeks or month even in Paris. Can you just maybe set the scene for us around the connect between Sport Ireland Institute in Blanchardstown and indeed the Olympics, if you would?
Yeah, so we're the Sport Ireland Institute. We're a unit of Sport Ireland, and our primary function is to provide performance support to Ireland's Olympic and Paralympic athletes. We operate out of a centre at the Sport Ireland campus. It's a centre that was extended back in 2016 with a $6 million investment. And ultimately, the facilities we have there, which is solely for high-performance athletes, include a wonderful S&C facility, a performance kitchen. We've a 130-metre track, a mixed training zone. We've extensive medical, physio and physiology facilities. But also our latest addition was an environmental chamber that was put in place earlier this year. That basically meant we could bring the world to Ireland for athletes to train here.
So who then gets to go and use your facility? How is the selection of users established?
Yeah, so it there's a high bar. So it's the only facility on the Sport Ireland campus that's just for high-performance athletes.
Okay. But
the rest of the facilities have a participation and community remit as well as high-performance. But the Institute is like the athletes, high-performance athletes hub. So there's a number of athletes who are carded with direct financial support from Sport Ireland. They have access and are entitled to services from our team. And then within each sport, we have an agreement with the performance director. Athletes who are on an Olympic or Paralympic pathway, they also get access to the centre. So
it's decided by performance in terms of how good you're doing in your particular sport. If you're qualifying for World Championships or Olympics, it lets you in to use your facility.
Absolutely, and it is pretty exclusive. And I think, but high performance is exclusive. We have to focus our resources on the top athletes to get the best return on investment, which ultimately is we're seeing this week at the Olympic Games and hopefully in 2 or 3 weeks' time with the Paralympic team as well.
So remind our listeners then about the investment that's been made in your facility and indeed the return on that investment, because, you know, it's great to talk about success around the Irish at the Olympics, you know, the trove of medals that we've got, but it didn't happen by accident.
No, I think the success this week is certainly on the basis of a systemic and strategic investment in sport by government. If we look at the total spend on high performance by government in the Paris cycle was $89 million.
Okay.
That compares to $55 million in the Tokyo cycle and $45 million in Rio.
So double.
It's really doubled. And that's on the back of the national sports policy, which was set in 2018, which identified that we were behind major nations who were similar in size to us, such as New Zealand and Denmark. And we were probably 50% of funding into sport. So the National Sports Policy made a commitment to treble the funding into high-performance sport up to 2028.
Wow.
So we're almost there. We're up around $25 million a year now, and that will probably jump to about $30 million over the next 2 or 3 years. And that will be a great legacy and outcome from these games. But the proof is in the pudding. We're sitting 13th on the medals table as we are today. One slot behind New Zealand, but with the same number of gold medals. But our equivalent nations that were compared against, Denmark and Norway, are way down the pecking order.
Yeah. So Liam, and I'm anxious to bring in our other two guests, but I think it's important to maybe just reflect on this, because so you would argue then that the return on investment in elite sports, in high performance sport, it has definitely been worth the money.
Absolutely. I mean, if you want to compete in a global arena in any business, you have to invest.
And big time.
Our challenge now is to stay at the cutting edge and make sure that we don't just sit in our laurels. Like, we our high performance strategy in Sport Ireland was we were traditionally a 2-medal winning nation at the Olympic Games. It set out a strategy to make us 4 to 6 medals in Tokyo, 5 to 7 in Paris, which we've achieved. Hopefully, maybe another one tonight. Hopefully, in the women's.
Fingers crossed.
But also, then that strategy was to make us an 8 to 10 winning medal at the Olympic Games from LA 2028 on a sustainable basis. So this is very much planned. It's measured, and the real joy for us in the system is that it's spread across a number of sports. We're not just relying on boxing or rowing. It's gymnastics, swimming, it's show jumping, it's sailing. We're so close, canoeing so close. It's and the potential is here in the country. We're just harnessing and realizing that now.
Okay, well said. Let's talk to our next two guests. Tina Dowling is with us from the Watershed in Kilkenny. Tina, tell us a little bit about your establishment and what you do, if you would.
Hi, Bobby. Yes, the Watershed opened in December 2008, so it's close to 15 years now. So we have a 25-metre pool, a smaller pool and a kiddies pool, a gym, sports hall, outdoor facilities, athletics track, AstroTurf. We cater for all sports as best we can in the community and the wider community. It's a fantastic facility and it's going quite well.
And the Watershed then is owned by the council but operated as a separate legal entity. Is that correct?
Sort of. The Kilkenny County Council invested.
These questions are never straightforward.
No, it's set up as a limited company. The shareholder is Kilkenny County Council.
Sure, sure. And I suppose then, you know, while you need to make contributions and you need to generate cash for reinvestment in the facility, you're competing then with private gyms, leisure centres, etc.
That's correct. And just to note that the Watershed doesn't receive any subvention operationally to run the business. The Watershed has to be break even and make a profit to reinvest into the Watershed. We don't get subvention operationally from the council. So like any other business, we have to cover all our costs and ever-increasing costs and then obviously look at market rates for our income side of the business as well.
And in terms of revenue in, Tina, is there an ability to join as a member as well as rock up and pay cash at the door? Do you operate both systems?
We do, yeah. We have membership, we have pay-as-you-go options, we have hire facilities, studios, AstroTurf, athletics track, swim lessons, pool hire, a lot of our clubs, including Kilkenny Swim Club, which utilise our pool, and then a lot of the local clubs, be it soccer or karate, taekwondo, gymnastics, all use our facilities, many of which we would be their home venue.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay, I want to bring in our third guest now, who's Clodagh Kilmurry. She's the CEO of Swan Leisure in Rapmines and indeed Crumlin. Clodagh, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Now, we've heard from Liam, we've heard from Tina. Tell us a little bit about your own business and your own establishments.
Sure, so we're very similar to the Watershed, but in Dublin.
Right.
So Dublin City Council built the facility first Rapmines in 2010 and set up a private company limited by guarantee to operate it on their behalf. So we are not-for-profit. We have to use Dublin City Council rates, but we are private. So like Tina said, we don't receive any other income from government or council.
It's a good model in the sense that it's state-backed, you know, at least it's underwritten by the state, and it allows, you know, investment with, you know, you as long as you say, as you cover your costs and generate some money for reinvestment, it provides a fantastic facility.
It does. I mean, my background was always private facilities, and there your focus is always on sales and looking after the member, whereas in this facility, your commitment is about getting as many people as possible through the door, giving them access, breaking down barriers to exercise. So it's a really good focus for the community.
So what do you offer? Is your lineup of AstroTurf, etc., swimming pools, similar to what Tina just articulated.
Similar, but we're Main Street rat mines, so we don't have as much space as there is in Kilkenny. So we have swimming pool, sauna, steam room, gym, sports hall, studios. Crumlin is the standalone pool. So we have our main source of income would be membership, followed by swimming lessons and then facility rental, drop-in schools. We have 14 local schools using the facility.
Wow. Yeah. So it really is community-based.
100%.
Yeah. My old friend, Ben Dunn, God rest him, used to say that you couldn't make money in gyms that had a swimming pool. Well, what's your own experience of that in terms of the business mix?
You definitely can, but it's a huge challenge.
Right.
The energy costs of operating a pool are astronomical. And before COVID, they were always challenging. I mean, our, for example, gas for the facility, our monthly bill might have been 30,000. And once the energy crisis hit, that increased to 60,000.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, it's an extra 30,000 each month.
Yeah, where do you find that?
And then you've got electricity as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is definitely very challenging. But I suppose that's one of the benefits that we are a private company. We use private business models to operate the facility and generate income from it. So I would disagree with Ben that you can't make money, but it is definitely challenging.
Excuse me. Back to you, Liam. In terms of the challenges that you face, you've got a bit of a pip in your step now at the moment. You've had a good week, and we're all singing your praises in terms of the excellent return on investment that you clear to be demonstrating. What sort of challenges have you had operating the facility in Blanchardstown? You're dealing with people who I assume, because they're at their top of their game, their demands must also be high.
Absolutely. We have to stay at the cutting edge in terms of support we provide, the equipment available. I suppose my challenge is really is internal within Sport Ireland. Like, so I'm trying to access the high performance budget in Sport Ireland to make sure that I have the right people providing the right services, whether that be physio, medicine, S&C. I need the best people. We provide expertise to Irish athletes, and they have to have 100% faith and confidence in their expertise and their ability to deliver for them. And the real sweet spot for us is that by putting in a team of providers across a range of services with an athlete and with a sport, is those team of providers working together. So the S&C coach doesn't take preference over the nutritionist. Nutritionist doesn't have an advantage over the physio. It's them working together. And because we're a relatively small country, and unless you're from far reaches of Donegal or Kerry, you can get to the Sport Ireland Institute within 2.5 hours. And
yeah, is your location an asset?
Absolutely. Yeah. it's a real, and with the advancement of the campus and most of the sports bodies, their administration headquarters have moved to the Sport Ireland campus. It basically means that as a community, we're all actually on site working together. And
there's a real power in that.
The cross-sharing of knowledge, information, expertise is phenomenal. It's a real sweet spot we have, and many of our competitor nations would comment on that when they come and visit the campus, they go, wow, it's an incredible facility. I've been in similar places around the world, and they're very soulless. What we have in Blanchardstown is unique. And there's a master plan to develop it further over the next 15 years. The Velodrome and Badminton Centre has been approved and announced recently. That'll be the next big ticket item on campus. So it's all going one way, Bobby.
So maybe back to you, Clodagh, in terms of staffing your facility, and I know Tina might have something to say on this as well, but you know, everybody's competing now for staff. How do you go about recruitment, retention, getting the best people that you need to operate the various disciplines?
Yeah, it's always been a big challenge for us to get the right staff. People who are in this industry aren't there to make money. People are there because they have a passion. But you really need to have a strong education. When somebody comes in, particularly we have a lot of older adults, and the first question you ask them is, do you have any injuries or illnesses that we need to be made aware of? They could be there for 5 or 10 minutes telling you. So you need somebody that's able to support that person and not cause any further injuries or rehabilitations. So for us, we really need to look after our staff.
Yeah.
We have to pay them well. We have to continue their education. But we use SkillNet Ireland, and they have some amazing courses available. There's a really exciting one coming out at the moment with Trinity College, which is cancer rehabilitation. So they're launching a course this year, and exercise professionals will be trained to offer cancer rehabilitation in the community.
Back to you, Tina. In terms of getting, I was talking to Claude about it there, attracting and retaining staff. What's your experience around that?
Yeah, I suppose since COVID, it's been extremely difficult. I would go as far as saying we've had a recruitment crisis, more so to do with attracting people back to the industry after COVID and after we were closed for so long. We've been, you know, kind of being located in Kilkenny as well probably doesn't help the situation, because a lot of people would have to relocate to work within the industry.
It's not a bad place to be, Kilkenny, I have to say.
No, it's a fantastic place to live, obviously, and it is good, with lots of facilities, including the watershed, but just from a work point of view, it is hard to retain staff, especially Monday to Friday, actually. Weekend staff, we've been quite lucky. We have a very strong group of people who have been with us for a number of years, who we've probably trained in-house and worked with them then for the few years. There may be students who are in education Monday to Friday, but then working on the weekends, and it's great to have those young people with us as well. But Monday to Friday, full-time staff, very difficult to attract people.
What about, I suppose, the colleges, the recreational sports management course there down south of you there in Waterford? I suppose the availability of people coming out of those courses, has that been useful?
It has, yes. We've certainly recruited people through that channel as well, which is good. But unfortunately, a lot of people in that particular course don't go directly into the leisure industry. They choose to, be it continue education and maybe go down a different avenue, or a lot of young people as well would. Move to Australia or America or Canada, after college as well, depending on their, financial circumstances,
yeah.
like any college course, not just that particular one, and it depends on their options.
Interestingly, I see, Tina, that they changed the name of the recreational sports management course in Waterford to sports science, in the hope of attracting... something like that, does that make any difference?
My opinion on that is, I suppose, people may not see it as a career anymore, which is an awful shame.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fantastic industry to be in. You're helping people with their, not just exercise, but, mental health, physical health, and creating a community, which the watershed is and all leisure centres are throughout Ireland.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, people don't see it as a career, long-term career at least. The people who we do have had working with us prior to COVID had a wealth of knowledge and experience. And unfortunately, that's actually gone from the industry now, because they've either changed career and gone to a completely different industry altogether after COVID, or, gone back to education and decided to do a different route completely. And that wealth of knowledge and experience be able to be passed down and to, enter the new people coming into the industry. It's an awful shame that it is lost that way. The college course is excellent, but like any college course, when you start work, you have to, learn the industry, work within it, understand it. And, the leisure industry, like any industry, is a business at the end of the day. So,
okay.
You have to, kind of get exposure to all aspects of it,
sure,
to, progress in it and be able to, climb the ladder per se to
sure.
get to the point okay. where you'd like your career to go.
Liam, just in terms of I suppose your own personnel, would a lot of your staff be former athletes? Is working in the industry, when you retire from competitive sport, coaching, helping others to achieve, Is that a career path?
It is, for sure. We would have a number of former Olympians, although I should say Olympians, you're always an Olympian.
Yeah.
On
no one
team.
Can take that away.
But I suppose I'm in the lucky position as somebody who's running the Institute, that because of our partnership with the Olympic Federation of Ireland and with Paralympics Ireland, where we're the official performance support partner to Team Ireland. Like, I currently have 22 of my team on Team Ireland in Paris.
Wow.
I have 12 going to the Paralympics with Team Ireland in a couple of weeks. So if you want to work with high performance athletes and want to get to the pinnacle of high performance sport, namely the Olympic and Paralympic Games, your route is to come and work with us.
Yeah.
So it's quite attractive. So we would have a number of athletes who stay in the system and have come from being an athlete to being a coach to being, for example, Owen Reinisch, for example, our head of athlete life skills, came fourth in the Olympic Games in Beijing. He then came to the coaching internship with
sure.
us, and now he's come. He's developed his skills. He's now a master's in psychology. He leads our life skills program. And we've others like Jesse Barr, Tom Cummins, Gary Ryan, who is Charlie Maudley's coach. He's our head of capability and expertise. So we have a number of them, Martina McCarthy. So it's definitely a route for sure.
And are you saying that because you're at the elite end of high performance athletes, that again, that people will want to work with you?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
We've grown our team. When I started with the Institute in 2017, our team of 34 and a budget of 1.9, we're now operating off 4.9 and a team of 74.
And
that's
wow.
a sign of the success we've had. But it's also the demands that the individual sports are placing on us to provide support services to their athletes. And so the proof is in the pudding. And many of those sports invest their own resources into us to get additional support.
Finally, to you, Clodagh, in terms of elite sports and sports participants, do you see any of them in your gyms?
You do, yeah. Our swim pro is two-time Olympian Kevin Williamson.
Great.
There definitely is a link between former athletes and coming in, and it's really nice to see them there, and all of our younger members and older members recognise them when they come in, and it adds to that community aspect of it. It's lovely.
That's great. Well, look, it's you're great ambassadors, all three of you, for your businesses. I want to thank Liam Harbinson, Director of Sport Ireland Institute in Blanchardstown, Tina Dowling, the CEO of The Watershed in Kilkenny, and Clodagh Kilmurry, CEO of Swan Leisure in Rathmines and Crumlin. Thank you all for letting us into your worlds, and continued success to you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.